Today is Wednesday, November 23rd. This is the Women's Chumash here. We're up to beginning of Perek Yud Bet, a Sefer Bereshit. Bereshit Yud Bet, Pasuk Dalad. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Bereshit Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Dalad. No problem. So after the promise made, the directive and the promises made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah will now report that Avraham implemented the directive that was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayelech Avram, ka'asher diber elav Hashem, vayelech ito Lot. And Lot traveled with him as well. Ve'Avram ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shana, b'tzeito me'charan. And Avram was 75 years old when he left Haran to begin his trek. So Rashi doesn't bother commenting on this pasuk because there's nothing terribly difficult about this particular pasuk. However, if you take the sheet that I distributed, Radak and Chizkuni raised two interesting observations. We will start on the right hand side with Chizkuni, who says Vayelech ito Lot. Chizkuni is dealing with the question, why is it that Lot traveled with Avram? No other member of his family seemed to have accompanied him, only Lot. So Chizkuni answers, Lefi Sheharan Aviv Meit Be'ur Kasdim. It is on account of the fact that Lot's father, Haran, died in Ur Kasdim, Biglal Avraham Achiv, on account of Avraham, his brother. Kimosha Amru Raboteinu, because the Midrash fills in that particular blank. There is nothing in the text that such a thing happened. Nothing. The Midrash's story is well known to everybody. Avram's father, Terach, takes Avram to the High Supreme Court at that time, and the Chief Justice was Nimrod, a rogue on his own. And he decides that for destroying the idols of Terach, you deserve to be thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh. What?
Fiery furnace.
That is correct. The fiery furnace. So Avram gets thrown into the fiery furnace and escapes unscathed. No, his brother Haran said, I can do the same thing. You know what? I'm also a good guy. You can throw me in as well. I'm also going to join Avram's legion. And when he got, because his intention was not sincere, according to the Medrash. Just wanted to brag that he escaped it, not because he wanted to really dedicate himself to the ideas of monotheism, and he got burnt. So the Midrash identifies this particular episode, and as a result, Haya Lot Lo Kiben Bayit. Since his father died, so now Avram, either at his request or probably at Avram's request, said, you know what, your father is dead, I'll take care of you. So he invited Lot to join him. Invited Lot to join him. That's what Chizkuni says. And in fact, in terms of the text, Lot is the only son that Haran had. He did have daughters. The text itself tells us that he had daughters. Who was his daughter? Avi Yiska, Bat Haran, Milka Bat Haran. That was Nahor's wife. Nachah's wife was Milcah, and she's described as Bataram. So why wouldn't Avram extend an invitation to Milcah as well, unless she was married already? We don't know, because the Torah doesn't tell about Milcah's marriage. We don't know. So it would be a little unusual that Avram would only be concerned about the male orphan and not the female orphans, unless they were married. I don't know. But Chizkuni claims that the reason why Lot is tagging along is due to the invitation of Avram, on account of the fact that Avram invited him because his father had passed away.
That's
Nachor
was married.
And Noah was a shaket,
that's
Nachor.
Shame, Asha. To Milcah, so he didn't have to worry about
that. Right. Okay.
He took Sarah and Lot.
Yeah, but what happened to Yiska? Haran is identified as Avi Milcah and Avi Yiska. That's the Medrash. That's the Medrash. Okay. Okay, but if you're looking, I'm asking for the text. Text doesn't say anything of the sort. Now, one thing that troubles me about Chizkuni, troubles me, are two words that he threw in which he didn't have to say. I like that little explanation. I understand it. But why did he have to state what? Correct. That Haran's death was in effect caused by Avraham. Mapitom? Even according to the eyes of the Midrash, why was Avraham responsible for Haran? Avraham didn't tell Haran to jump in. That was his own initiative. Why is he blaming Avram as if to suggest, and I'm only reading into his mind, you know why Avram decided to what? To invite Lot? Because he felt a little guilty that he was responsible for Haran's death. Well, here's what my own. What prompted the Midrash, cited by Chizkuni, to claim that something that is not found in the text of the Midrash? I looked up that Midrash 20 times. The Midrash doesn't say that Avram caused his death. Yes?
Well, it's like, you know, brotherly rivalry. Anything you can do, I can do too or better. So he felt the need to do what Avram...
Okay, but would you say it was Biglal Avraham?
Maybe Avram knew that his brother was like, you know.
That's possible. I know what you're talking about, brotherly competition. My brother suffered tremendously with all that. Yes.
He said he did.
I'm the big brother. What can I tell you?
We don't know what happened at the time, but maybe Abraham could have stopped him from going in, and he felt guilty that he didn't stop him.
What? Okay, that's possible. You know, in the scene that described the match, you're standing by Nimrod, the high supreme. Avram's not in charge here. This is Nimrod's courthouse. And, you know, it doesn't look like Avram's in charge of the situation. I just alerting you to it. It's something that bothers me. It's always bothered me. Why did he have to throw this in? I don't have a good answer. If you can think of something, be my guest, write it down, and send it in to Or HaMizrach.
Maybe
they'll publish it.
Just expressing Abraham's point of view. In other words, Abraham's point of view that he felt
responsible for.
He felt responsible.
Okay, interesting. Because he had jumped in.
Correct.
He was thrown in. So maybe that's interesting. Biglal Avraham is from Avraham. Not that we're pointing guilt, but it's Avraham felt badly that he may have caused Haran's death, even though that. Very good, very nice. Like I said, better than. I don't have anything. Very good.
And does it say anywhere that we're responsible for the bechira of another person and what they choose?
No. But if I lead, if I go in a certain direction and I'm an influential person, somebody might be swayed and influenced by my decision. That happens all the time.
That's our responsibility.
To some extent, yes.
Really?
Yeah, to some extent. Yeah, you have to realize if you have the power to influence others, even though everybody has bechira chavshit, but when you pave a certain example, others might follow. You have to take responsibility for that. Yes. That's Chizkuni's point. Go to the other side of the page. No, one second. I want to finish up the Chizkuni, and then you'll appreciate the Radak's point. Continues the Chizkuni. In effect, why does the Torah report right here how old Avram was? Like in the middle of a phrase, Avram follows God's command, he goes with Lot, and the next pasuk says, "Vayikach Avram et Sarai ishto v'et lo v'chasham," and all of this is interrupted with what? Oh, by the way, Avram was 75 years old. Why is that such a critical point, piece of information, right here in the midst of the story? That Avram decided to follow God's command, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetcha mi'beit avicha. That's the issue that Chizkuni will address, as well as Radak. Take a look at Rash, at Chizkuni. Mana hakatuv shnotav, the Torah enumerates, identifies how old Avram was at this time. Lilameid she'adayin aviv kayam. It's for one reason, to teach me that his father was still alive. How do I know that his father was still alive? That's a simple reading of text. We are told in the text that Terach was 70 years old when Avram was born. Okay? Then we are told here that he is 75 Bitseto Mecharan. So if you take AP calculus, you know that 70 and 75 is 105. No, 145. See, I didn't take AP calculus. 145. Now the Torah tells us that Terach died in last week's in Noah. He was 205 years old. So he lived another 60 years. So the Torah is telling us, I want you to know that Terach is still alive. Ah, so what? The Terach is, why is that so significant that Terach is alive? So we will see. We will see. So Chizkuni doesn't really elaborate as to what. So what? So Terach is alive. We find throughout Sefer Bereishis that the Torah, when it moves in transition from person A, who is now going to fade into the go off stage, and somebody else is going to now appear on stage as the primary actor, how does the Torah get him off stage? I told you this. He dies. This happens throughout Sefer Bereishis, even though the person has not yet died. The Torah tells us that Yitzchak died, despite the fact that what? He was alive when Yaakov enters the picture. Same thing with Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham is alive during Yitzchak's dialogue with Esav. You know, he's still alive, but the Torah reported he's dead because he's no longer on the picture on the screen. So, but here, what's the point of this information? So Terach's still alive. What do you want to suggest?
Because it just shows that even though his father was alive,
good. Now, he didn't say that. That's going to be basically what Radak's going to say. But that's excellent. Despite, I could have said, you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to leave. You know what? When my father drops dead, then I'll leave. Right now, I don't want to leave him. I got to take care of him. I love him. No. He left immediately, as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the command, despite the fact that Terach is going to live another 60 years. Very good. Next.
Also saying something that, isn't it grandfather who should have taken in his grandson as opposed to the uncle taking the grandson?
No, you don't do that. Okay.
It's possible. It's possible. I'm not saying no. It's not saying no. But it depends how old the grandparents are. Yeah, okay. Okay. Are you prepared to have your grandchildren live with you permanently? I don't want to ask you that. Because I know the answer. Yes.
It also shows that for whatever reason, Abram was taking everybody with him, but not Terah. So the question is, did Terah not want to go?
Okay, that's a good question. Now let's read the Radak.
Didn't Hashem told Abram to leave his father.
Yes, so but he didn't. Okay, but he could have said, "I'll do it as soon as he passes away. I'll listen to God, but in due time." So let's take a look at the Radak. Vayelech Avram. Ubalo ad Haran. They left Ur Kasdim and came to Haran. Veheniach Sham Aviv. Ubalo le'eretz Kanaan. I know, that's the difficulty with Radak. We already pointed out that it was Terach's initiative to leave Ur Kasdim and go to Haran. There was no leaving, there was no issue there. The whole family went from Ur Kasdim to Haran.
And doesn't the Torah say that he was on his way to Kanaan?
Yes, Vayavo ad Arza Kanaan, and he decided, I'm not going to Arza Kanaan. I'm staying where? Haran. Good business opportunities in Haran. Correct. That's correct. And that's where he died. But he didn't make an effort to move out of Haran. Now, skip his next entry. I'll get back to it in a second. Go to Bitseto Mecharan. His third entry in the Radak. Bitseto Mecharan, Avram was 75. Veheniach Aviv Sham, and he left his father there. Ulai nit'akev imo sham yamim lefatoso. Perhaps, says the Radak, he didn't leave exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to leave. He spent some time trying to do what? To persuade him, to convince him to join. So the Torah is telling us that Avram was 75. I want you to know that Terach is still alive. And Avram made an effort to convince Terach to come along. Now, had Terach come along, would he have been in fulfillment of God's directive? Would Avram have been in fulfillment of God's directive? What would you say, Rabotai?
His birthplace.
He was told to leave mi beit avich, mi molat el mi artzicha, mi molat el mi beit avicha. And okay, do you think it means the physical house?
No.
No.
Idolatry.
What? Okay.
He had persuaded him to join him.
Ah, very good suggestion. God does not want to what? Necessarily break up families. He wants Avram to recognize that the environment in which you currently reside is not terribly conducive to accepting monotheism, where your father, what, will go ahead and still worship idols. That's assuming that Terach had not yet done tshuva. We had already seen that, according to some, Ibn Ezra and others, that Terach did tshuva. And that's why he left Ur Kasdim and went to Haran. That's why it was his initiative. He was leaving. Radak is not buying into that at all. And as a result, it's not that he has to leave his father just for the heck of it. He has to leave his father's ways. If he were to succeed in convincing Terach to abandon his idols and come with him in discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everything would be fine and dandy. That's one possibility. Whoever said it, excellent. What do you want to suggest?
No, I have a question about the conflict between Kibbutz Ohel and going to Eretz Yisrael, which is really a conflict since it's even today. And I'm wondering if this doesn't set a pattern for us, or maybe
okay, so first of all, there is nothing here that indicates that Terach said, don't go. If Terach had said, do not go, then your comment is right on the mark. Are you permitted to make aliyah if your parents say, absolutely not? Absolutely not. There was a very famous case Suri, you might remember this. There was a family who davened Shomer Emunah. Their name was Kramer. Rabbi Wahlberg was the rabbi of the shul. And they what? This is 1963. And the guy got a wonderful offer for a job in Israel. And I'm making Aliyah. His parents said, I don't want you to make Aliyah. So they decided they're going to ask Rav Moshe. They went to Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's printed at the tshuvas. Rav Moshe said, you're not allowed to go. Why? He said the following. If you look at the Rambam never documented amongst the 613 mitzvot that there is a mitzvah to make aliyah.
To live in Israel.
There is none. The Rambam did not code mitzvah ladur be'eretz Yisrael. The Rambam speaks mightily about living in Israel, the values, the benefits, but he doesn't write in his code that there is a mitzvah to do so. So in the Rambam's book of mitzvot, Sefer Mitzvot, the Ramban wrote a critique of mitzvot which the Rambam omitted and which ones he should have omitted, because I have a different understanding. The first entry of the Ramban is, hey Rambam, why did you omit the mitzvah of living in Israel? It's the first critique of the Ramban. Because the Ramban believes that there is a mitzvah, black on white. So Rav Moshe said, okay, I know the Ramban, but since the Rambam did not code it, I don't believe that the parent request is against the halacha. If a parent asks you to do anything against the law, you have an obligation to ignore them. And you followed it, the halacha. Your father asks you to turn on the light on Shabbos, say, I'm sorry. Father asks you to carry his talisman to shul, you can't. If it's a Rosh Hashanah, you can't. Or even a karmelis. There's no eruv, you can't carry it. Sorry. Kibud Av V'Em is no application. So since the Rambam did not code it, he believed that the father's request is not anti-halakha, and therefore he told the family, you have to go ahead and not make aliyah. So I remember Rabbi Wahlberg, who was a great darshan and had such a quick sense of responding, said, how odd is this psak? What reward does the Torah promise for kibud av v'em? Where? Al ha'adama. Whoa. If this guy was offered a job in Israel, he probably has done kibud av v'em up until now fairly well. How ironic it is that kibud av v'em is going to prevent him from what? Taking that reward which was being offered to him. You know, because now he's not going. Their family did not go because of what Rav Moshe said.
They never went.
They never went. So it's a good question. Today, if somebody asks me, I tell them 100%, ignore your parents. Because the Ramban is 100% right. And even the Rambam, he writes that anybody who lives in Chutz La'aretz, he quotes the Gemara in Ketubot, Kimi Shidar Beli Eloha. It's as if you're living without a God. That's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says about living in Chutz La'aretz. And the Rambam quotes it. And the Rambam acknowledges that if there's a conflict between a husband and wife, one wants to make aliyah and the other, the one who wants to make aliyah triumphs immediately in the divorce proceedings. If they're going to get divorced. So the husband wants to go, he gives his wife a get, doesn't have to pay her a ksuba. Does not have to pay her a ksuba. If the wife wants to go, we force the husband to give her a get, pay the ksuba right now. In full. In full. That, and the Rambam quotes all of these things. So he knows of the significance of the value of living in Israel and the importance of it. He knows it. For some reason, he didn't formulate it as one of the 613 mitzvot. Yes?
Rambam lived in Egypt, right?
He lived in Spain and then in Egypt.
He never went to Eretz Yisrael?
The Rambam?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if the Rambam ever went to Eretz Yisrael. I know the Ramban did. That's for sure. Oh, excuse me. There is a tshuva of the Rambam which he said he was on the Har HaBayis. Excuse me. In the tshuvas of the Rambam, he writes, Kishahayiti be'Yerushalayim aliti lehar HaBayit. He writes that black on white. I was on the Har HaBayis. In the 1200s. So he was in Eretz Yisrael. There's no, yes, he was. Good.
I thought once you went to Eretz Yisrael, you couldn't leave.
It's hard to find a source for that. So that's why the Radak says we have to know that Terach was still alive. Why do we have to know that Terach is still alive? Because Avram made an effort to get him to come along with him, and he would not have been in violation of God's command had Terach abandoned. That's one way of looking at it. There is another way of looking at it, based on last week's parsha. What episode of, I'm just going to tell you Avram's reaction. Vayera hadavar al odot Yishmael bino. Vayera la Avraham al odot bino. What's the episode?
God told him to kick out
Hadassah. No, Sarah told him. Sarah. Then God said, Kol asher tomar elecha Sarah, Shema b'kolo. Listen to your wife. Yes, that set the precedent for all humanity. All history. The Rabbi Yishalom says, listen to your wife. What do you got to do? You have no choice. Can't be wrong. Rabbi Yishalom can't be wrong. But initially, Avram was not happy with the suggestion. The Torah reports it. It bothered him. So tell me why it bothered. Avram was not an idiot. Yishmael didn't dupe him like Chazal portray Esav duping Yitzchak. Like Chazal portray Esav duping Yitzchak. Hey Pop, how do you give truma from salt? To make him appear as if he's Azat Talmud Chacham, he's so medactic and mitzvos. So Yitzchak fell for it, that's why he was going to bless him. That's how Chazal look at it. Make him look like he had no clue what was going on in his own house. But Avram is never reported that, certainly not in the text, and not even in the Midrash. So what is Avram's inclination based on the text? Based on last week. What's his inclination?
To try to be
Mahara. No. Yishmael we don't see any acts of Kiruv on Avram's side. What is Avram's inclination? Your family, I don't abandon you. You are my son. I don't abandon you. I don't care what you... I know you're worshipping Avodah Zarah, killing people. You're a Pera Adam. Avil D'Chaya, as the Torah describes it. Avil D'Chaya. Nothing less. Yad Koladam Bo. He's got his hands in everybody else's pot. That's not a medrash. It's black and white in the text. But he's my son. I don't throw my son out to the desert. I don't. In which case, give me another alternative of why Avram would ask Terah to join.
Because
you're my father. I'm not leaving.
Or you can reverse that. You could say maybe he felt sensitive in that area because Terach will not go with him. So he knows what it means not to be where your father.
Good. Good.
Oh, yeah.
In which case, if Terach had acceded to Avram's request, would he have been in fulfillment of God's command?
No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely
not. No, because God is telling him to abandon his father, or at least his father's ways.
That's right. So
but Avram, I'm saying, is not necessarily extending invitation if Terach would agree to what? To junk his idols. That's not Avram. Avram's personality is such, I can't abandon relatives. I can't.
That's why he took
Lo. That's why he would offer to try to get Terach. You're my family. I feel connected. Where do I have a right to say that? Because I see Avram's reaction to Sarah's suggestion, take Yishmael and Hagar and tell them to spend the rest of their life in the desert. Even though Abraham knew fully well that Yishmael was mitzachek im Yitzchak. Mitzachek. And Rashi says doesn't mean just having laughing. Mitzachek means teaching him all kinds of inappropriate things. Rashi's probably right. Abraham knew that. But I can't throw you out into the desert. I can't abandon my father. Okay, he's going to, the Ramban in a couple of weeks will hold him accountable, seriously accountable for abandoning his wife. Not like others who try to defend him. We'll take that tack. Yes.
So if the end result of this discussion, it would be encouraged for one to send away a child that was para adam? Is that what God is suggesting? Or is he just saying, listen to Sarah, it had nothing to do with the Ishmael issue?
I don't think it's a Shalom Bayis issue. I think it's God saying, in this particular case, I am afraid of the consequences of Yishmael's influence upon Yitzchak. Now that could have enormous ramifications in our own families.
We discussed this past Shabbat also.
Yes.
You know, he really prioritized the issue of education and how the influence of one bad seed is going to destroy others. Not even a family situation.
So that's correct. Yes.
But it's a very strong, I just felt it's such a strong statement. You're saying, if somebody's a bad influence,
You could so read God's message in terms to Avram that she's correct. Bad influences cannot remain. I'm not saying to God forbid anybody should do it today.
No, but
I hear your point is very well taken. It could have ramifications if that's what's happening, and it is happening with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response.
But
yes.
And the timing is very important. This isn't a general rule to give the bad influence. It's the beginning of the establishment of the Jewish people and monotheism.
Yes.
If you have someone like Yishmael in that beginning throes of the establishment of all religion, you can't have him around.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a bad
influence. I hear. I want to share with you a couple of midrashic remarks and a Beis Halevi. All on the sheet. Please go to page number 2 for a second. Now, many of the comments commentators are somewhat troubled why in our pasuk it says Vayelech Itolot, and in the very next pasuk it says Vayikach Avram et Sarai Shtevet Lot Ben Achiv. Why does it say it again that he took Lot?
It's different.
What's the difference?
One is
okay. So which one could we have done without either? No. With one of them?
It seems that from the first one that maybe Lot was willing to go along with him.
Okay. That's what some are going to pipe in and say. Let's see how the Midrash and other Parshanim react to the phrase Vayelech Itolot. First there is a Medrash Rabbah. Rashi doesn't say it here, but he often does. Vayikach Korach Mashkam Bidvarim. Rashi often says that. Correct. Here the Midrash finds fault in Lot based on the phrase Vayelech Itolot. Says the Midrash, I bracketed on page 2. Arba'ad Dvarim Tovim Hayalot Chashuv LeAvraham. There are 4 episodes where it appears that Avram considered Lot somebody special, somebody worth saving, and the Torah reports that he takes Lot with him. Vayelech Itolot. Then he gives you the other sources. Vigam Lelot. Es Lot Achiv Urechosha Heshiv. This is after the battle of the kings. What does he do? He returns all the booty. and he makes sure that Lot gets back his money. Vayhi b'shachas Elohim, when God's destroying Sodom and Amorah, vayizkor Elohim et Avraham, vayishlach et Lot mitoch ha-hafecha. What happens in Sodom and Amorah? Don't forget, Lot lives in Sodom, because he saw that it was Kigan Mitzrayim. It's so fertile, I'm going to live there. So as it's being destroyed, he sends one of the messengers to what? Save Lot. So what would you have expected Lot's attitude to Jews would be? What would you expect Lot's attitude of to be? Makir Tov. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You've been so nice to me. Says the Midrash. Ukenegdan hayu banav tzrichim lifroa lanu tovot. His children should have been very nice to us. Velo dayan shelo paru tovot. Not only did they not pay us back nicely, not nicely, ela ra'ot. They were terrible to us. Because who were the two children of Lot? Amon and Moab. And the rest of the Midrash goes on to document Psukim, in which we know that Amon and Moab made life miserable for us. Miserable. So the Midrash, the first one is Vayelech Ito Lot. Vayelech Ito Lot. Secondly, the phrase Vayelech Ito Lot, some place the emphasis on the word Ito, as opposed to emo. Does anybody know grammatically, diktuk, what's the difference between ito and emo? So, Balei HaDiktuk say that emo, when you join somebody and the word emo is there, it means that you subscribe to that person's values. That's why you're joining. That's what an am is. An am, a nation, is a nation that joins together because they have common values. As opposed to a goy, gviya. Goy just means people are living together because they happen to be living, not because they what? Have common values. They just don't want to live alone. So they need another person together. But so am ito doesn't mean at all because you have their values. You're just schlepping along because it's in your best interest. Says many. What's his name? Lot. Lot did not go ka'asher diber eloha. That's not his reason for going to Eretz Canaan. It's not that he's looking for what? God. A new land. I'm not. He's going as a subcategory. Ito means that the primary one is whom? Avram. And a secondary consideration. Lot, as we would say in Yiddish, there's no good translation. Anuch Schlepper. Anuch Schlepper. He's just dragging along. That is. Oh, yes. The next pasuk. Ve'et rechusham asher rachashu. He sees that Avram's loaded. Oh. Does Avram have any children yet? No. Who's going to inherit him? Me. I'm his nephew.
How old is Lot? Do we know?
We don't know how old he is. We don't know. No, in the second pasuk they fill it in.
Right,
I don't have an answer for that question. Why in our pasuk is Sarai not mentioned? Only in the next pasuk. I don't know. Why is it more important to tell me about Lot than Sarai? Vesachnisht. Vesachnisht. So here on page 3 is the Yalkut Shimoni that I just mentioned. Vayhi, I'm not focusing on the entire remark. Vayhi b'shaches Elohim, when the city of Sodom and Amorah are being destroyed by God, says the Medrash, Zehamalach. It's an angel. Vayizkor Elohim et Avraham, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. I am not capable of explaining what it means that God sent a malach. As opposed to whom? God Himself. I cannot explain in the Akedah that God is the one who tells Avram to what? Offer Yitzchak on the Mizbeach. And who tells him, Al ta'as lo me'uma, don't do anything? Only a malach. If the Torah goes out of its way to say it's a malach, there's got to be something different. I can't explain what a malach is, because I never saw the one, I never talked to one. Malachim are just, you know, they represent God. I can't explain it. But it means some indirect contact, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to you directly. I have no idea what role they play, how do we perceive it. So the Yalkut Shemayni just says it. I'm not focusing on it, and I can't explain it anyhow. Yes.
When the Malachim came to visit Abraham, don't we say that one of them was sent to destroy?
Yes. Echad
Devaser Esav. That was his job.
Okay, but what does it mean? A Malach is doing a job. Yes. God can destroy it very well Himself. He just destroyed the whole world. But you needed a Malach to put down sulfur and salt? Gafris v'melach sreifa kalatza. You don't need a malach. God can make it rain salt and sulfur. I just don't understand the role of angels. You know, when you get up there, maybe you'll bump into one of them. Vayishlach et Lot. Vayishalach et Lot. And they sent away Lot, not to be destroyed. Bezichron Avraham. Through God remembering Avram, Hitzil Hadvekim Bo. Anybody who is in his clan, his what, is saved as a result. Vitam Hadavar, Shilmole Avraham, Adayin Hayalot Bicharan, Shehu Arzo Umalarato. If not for Avraham, where would Lot be? Still in Haran. Abulichvod Avraham Yatsa Imo. But because in the honor of Avraham, Lot decided to go with him. Kimosha Amara Pasuk. Vayelech Avram Kashadibar Lav Hashem. Vayelech Ito Lot. Ulekach Hizkir HaKatuv. Ki mitoch Zichron Avraham Nitzal Lot Imo. Because if God remembers Avraham, what happens then? Lot gets schlepped along. V'zehu shedorshu rabboseinu zal. This is what the rabbis in the Medrash have said. Matzilin tik hasefer im hasefer. If there is a Sefer Torah burning, if there is a shul that's burning, God forbid, and you want to save the Sifrei Torah, you can take not only the Sefer Torah, but you can take the mantle as well. In whose honor is the mantle spared? In the honor of the Sefer Torah. Same thing, Avraham and Lot. Avraham's the Sefer Torah, so as a nochschlepper, Lot is being spared as a result, and that's Vayelech Ito Lot. The last line of that entry, Lelamdecha Ashrei Hatzadikim V'Ashrei Dibukehen. How fortunate the righteous are, and how fortunate those who cling to the righteous. V'chein Matzinu B'Noach Hatzadik V'Yizkor Elohim Et Noach V'Eit Kol HaChaya V'Et Kol HaBeima Asher Ito, not Imo. Why are the animals saved? Not on their own account. Why are they saved? Bezechut me? Bezechut Noah. So that happens very frequently. That's why the Mishnah says that you should Yehi Beitcha Beit Va'ad Lechachamim. The Mishnah in Avot. Your house should be a meeting place, a gathering place for Talmidei Chachamim. Because if you hang out with them, only good things can happen to you. Only good things can happen to you. That's point number two, based on the phrase. Point number three, page number three. Or four. Page number four. This is the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi is Reb Chaim Brisker's father, the Rav's great-grandfather, for whom he is named. The Beis Halevi, his name was Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, and the Rav was named after his great-grandfather. He wants to know, why does the Torah report lo twice? Vayikach ito lo, and the next pasuk, Vayikach Avram et Sarah ishto ve'et Lot ben Achir. Why twice? Says the Beis Halevi, Ha dehizkir hakatuv shenit lilo, that which the Torah repeats only lo twice. Sarai is only mentioned once. Hanefesh asher asu b'charan, only mentioned once. Rechusham asher rachashu, only mentioned once. Only Lot is privileged to be mentioned twice. Mishum de Avraham nohag belot kimo shehu adin beger. He treated Lot as a potential convert. What is the law of a potential convert? Demi sheba lehit gayer lo hayu mikablin oto. You don't accept him right away. Rak gochin oto. You try to discourage him or her from becoming a convert. Virak imit chazek, if they doth protest strongly and say, you know what, I want to be Jewish. Ukimoshinohaga Naomi betchila, as it appears in Megillat Rut, Omro lahem shovna binotai, go back, what do you want to follow me for? V'achakach ki shira'ata ki mitametzet lalechet ita kibla ota. V'chein kan betchila lo lakcho Avraham imo. Rak lot Halach me'atzmo, says the Beis Halevi. The first time, our pasuk, Lot is joining, not to the invitation of Avraham. Lot came along as himself. I want to join you. And what did Avraham say? Not so quick. After he persisted and actually left his father's community, he left Haran, now, vayikach Avraham et Lot. Ben Achiv. It's not that Lot's coming himself.
He
accepted him. Exactly. Lot is now being welcomed into the fold. Doesn't last. Not going to last too long. But kacha omer habet halevi. Va'acha kach va'yikach Avram et Sarah et Lot ben Achiv. Yes.
How are Sarah and Lot related?
They should be...
According to Rashi,
they're brothers and sisters.
That's what
yes,
it was.
That is correct.
That's why it says Sarah and Lot. I mean, Lot had two reasons to come, not only Avram, but
that's
his sister.
His family.
Yeah, that's possible.
On his father's side.
Then, I want to show you how the Malbim treats this. Page 5 and 6. Says the Malbim, Vayelech Avram eino kaful imashi katuv achareze vayikach Avram et Sarai ishto ve'et Lot ben Achiv. Forget about the Lot being double. Why do I have to say that what? That Avram, Vayelech Avram, and what vayikach Avram? Obviously, if Avram went, what did he do? He took his family with him and his wealth. He didn't leave it all behind. Says the Malbim, this is not a repetition. each one conveying a separate idea. What is it? Kipo in our pasuk, Vayelech Avram, Yichavein al Hahalicha Hamachshaviyit. What does that mean? The thought process involved. Shizot Haita Tekef Shinifrad B'machshavo Ulevavo Me'artso Va'achareze Gami Malarato. V'kotav Kasher Dibere Ulav Hashem. So number one, Vayelech Avram does not mean physically, claims the Malbim. What does it mean? Coming to a mental decision that, you know what? I'm going to leave. Avram probably, as we described earlier, probably grappled with God's command. Because this is his family. This is where he grew up. Not easy. So in the thought process, when he finally came to the decision to do what? To leave? That's Vayelech Avram. When did he actually pick himself up? We don't know. But that's why the Torah reports it a second time. Vayikach Avram et Sarai Ishto. That is the second time. Kachato ein hamalbin. V'gam ratzon olomar. And I also add, Sha'af al pi sheheftiach Hashem schar al zeh. Even though God promised Avram a bunch of reward. V'escha l'goy gadol, v'avarechecha, v'agad l'shemecha. Lo asa zot v'avur ha'yudim ha'tovim ha'ele, u'l'tikvat sechar. That's not the reason why Avram did it, so he should be blessed by God and the ink and the hope for additional reward. Rak l'shem shamayim. How do I know? The emphasis. V'yelech Avram Kasher diber elov Hashem. He did it because God told him to do, not because of any promises. Avolot lo halach al kavanazu. Lot did not go using this rationale. Rak vayelech iton Lot. Lot went along for the ride. Lo halach. He did not leave Haran because he wanted to separate from his father. It probably bothered the daylights out of him. That he has to leave his father. Behepech Shaholach mitnei shelo ratza lehiporeid me'Avram. He didn't want to separate himself from Avram. He had seen miracles, according to the Midrash. Saw him get out of the fire. He sees that he's acquired enormous wealth. I better stick to this guy. Va'al zeh omar vayelech ito. Shemoreh al hatofel. It indicates that you are a subcategory. Kimo shekasavti b'chiburi ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvah kedoshim. Just like I wrote in my commentary on Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Kedoshim, Behevdel shebein ito uben imo. That's my idea, says the Malbim. Then he comments, why does the Torah have to report that Avram was 75 years old? So we've seen already an answer. Let's see what he says. Ve'Avram ben Chamesh v'shivim shana hagam shehaya zaken v'yoshev ba'aretz hazot Yomim Rabim Shamal Advar Hashem. Despite the fact that he was already 75 years old, see, he probably had a lot of connections to the townspeople, to what's going on. Now, if the Malbim is correct, where is God telling him, I want you to leave? Where is God telling him, I want you to leave? He didn't discuss that here.
Right, because they were in Haran at this time. So the question is, good.
This Malbim will support the Ramban's theory. Who remembers the Ramban's theory about Avram and Ur Kasdim in Haran? Where was Avram born? in Haran. The fact that somebody was born in Ur Kasdim only applied to whom? The older brother Nachor. That's what the Ramban said. We were all shocked at the time. The fact that it says that he was born in Ur Kasdim only applies to Nachor. Not to, that's what the Ramban, we read it inside. In which case, Avram lived his entire life in Haran. 75 years. In 75 years, you make a heck of a connection. And as a result, it was very difficult for him to pick up. And nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, I am going. I am going.
Wait.
Next, just, yeah?
But the Torah says that you have to have Avram to know that both Ben Haran. So,
that was the question we asked on the Ramban.
Okay, was it
Eric? Oh, okay. Well, that's your fault,
that?
Not mine.
I was in Eric's Tanakh.
Okay. Okay. We don't have an answer for that question. That's one of the difficulties against the Ramban. Many asked that. It's a good question. We asked it at the time. Turn to page 6, the next page, the back of that page. Va'al pi hadrush, says Malbim. Listen to this. Hine hashanim she'ein adam masig bahem et shleimuto einam shnot hachayim. The years that you live and don't feel a sense of accomplishment, those are not called living years. Ki lo chai bahem chaye adam, because you didn't live what? An enriched spiritual human life. Rak chayim behamiyim. That became a very popular phrase with the Balei HaMusar, that we shouldn't live a life of behemot. All we're interested in is physical pleasure, eat, drink, sleep, have kids, nothing else. V'lo yechashvu b'mispar shenotav. They really shouldn't count to what? To the number of years that you live. V'Avraham avru alav shanim rabot ad shehikir ha'emunah ha'amitit. Avraham, many years of his life passed until he recognized that there was a Borei Olam. How old exactly? Nobody knows, because it doesn't say. There is a machloikus. The Rambam says he was 43. Where did he get 43? Is beyond me. But the Ravid argues with the Rambam. Then he says, no, he was 3 years old. That's when he discovered God. Okay. So according to the Ravid, he only lived 3 years without having discovering God. That wouldn't be the Malbim's perspective, because that's not Shanim Rabot. The Adata Lo haya b'minyan shnotav. As long as Avraham did not discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those years can't be counted. Rak b'tseito mecharan hishlim shleimut nafsho b'harare kodesh. Only when he left Haran, he now completed his soul and what? Of recognizing God. And mirecha mishachar sha'ad sha'oz nechshav lo ki choya ad aka chomesh v'shivim shana. That once he discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do we now consider it as if he lived for 75 years?
Retroactively.
But not really. Because until you discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have not fulfilled your mission, you're not living in a spiritual fashion, that's not called life. Take that message any way you'd like, but that's how the Malbim says why the Torah reports that Avram was 75, he discovers God, he listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if he lived 75 years tachat kanfei hashchina. We'll stop here and we will continue next Shabbat. Yes.